And welcome in to the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care and the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning. We are live from Bridgestone Arena, Game 6 tonight between the Predators and the Vancouver Canucks. Predators trying to stay alive and force a Game 7 back in Vancouver. And it's going to be a long day down here at Bridgestone Arena, but we're starting off in style this morning. Joe Rexroad, how are we doing? What's going on?
I'm very disappointed. Where is the crowd? I thought this was a serious hockey market. Where are the people? Huh? Let's go!
There's no one here in Barrel House except me and Rexroad.
I mean, if this was a Canadian market, my golly, in Vancouver, they'd be happy hour right now. I just really want someone to bring us coffee. Someone please bring us coffee. Please bring us coffee.
It would be nice to have. That would be good.
You're such a – I'm so proud of you. So you're such a devout coffee drinker all of a sudden.
I am. I've turned into – I don't know what I've turned into. I guess you.
It's – well.
Is this an influence from you?
Yeah, you don't want that. But it's good, man. It's better than pop.
It is better than whatever you just said. Nick Keyser, how we doing? What's going on?
Good morning. Yes, I am caffeinated with my own coffee here at the Network Control Studios. So I can have coffee sent to you if you so need it.
That's
but
good.
I don't know how they could get in there.
Well, we'll see.
It's like seriously, DoorDash us, man.
Keezer's got like the voice of God like emanating through the Barrel House.
Seriously,
right here.
It's like the Wizard of Oz over here.
Like Morgan Freeman.
Maybe so. Nick Keyser, Morgan Freeman, very similar in terms of what you think of.
Absolutely. Any comparison to him, that would be great. Yeah,
that's good. We got a lot to get to on the program today. Jared Stillman will be with us at 7 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on Game 6 tonight between the Predators and Canucks. Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter at 8 o'clock. His thoughts on the draft from last week and the possible addition of Tyler Boyd, which we'll get into a little bit later in the program as well. But, Joe, we begin on Game 6. Obviously, it's a massive game, massive opportunity for the Predators tonight to extend this series. You've not been able to win a game to this point on home ice. The road team has won 4 games in a row in this series. And we saw it last night. A team that's been down 3-1 has forced a Game 7, and that is Toronto, who was down 3-1 to Boston. They win in Game 6 at home last night to force a Game 7 on the road. Predators hoping to do the same thing tonight against Vancouver. And Rick Tocchet still not really saying who his goalie is going to be. He says he's making a decision on that as of yesterday afternoon. So my guess is he's probably known the whole time who the goalie is going to be for Game 6. Not saying that publicly. I don't guess that he'll say that today publicly either at this point. But a massive opportunity, a massive day for the Nashville Predators here tonight in Game 6.
Yeah, and all the Maple Leafs needed was to take Austin Matthews out of the lineup.
I guess so.
To get a big win there. But the Preds trying to force the 4th Game 7 in franchise history, trying to improve to, make sure you correct me on this if I'm wrong, Keyser, but I believe trying to improve to 8-15 in elimination games. They got to 7-15 the other night.
So I believe you are correct. Right, yeah.
Thank you. So it's huge, and look, it's a lot of what happened in the first 2 games here, games 3 and 4, is what the Preds want to happen tonight. They want to play the same way. They want the same kind of atmosphere, and then it comes down to can you close out a game if you're up, and can you make a couple of key plays and prevent them from making a couple of key plays.
Yep, tonight I think a big night tonight for your Ryan O'Reillys and Philip Forsbergs, Roman Josis, obviously UC Saros. I mean, every night's a big night for the goalie. But this is the type of situation and the type of game at home where you need your best players to come through for you. And we saw some of that in Game 5. I think it's going to be a harder game tonight from the standpoint of, like, I think there's an expectation of, oh, the home team in this series has controlled more of the territorial play, and that's basically been the case. It hasn't obviously resulted in wins most of the time. I would expect that this one tonight probably going to be a little bit more difficult in terms of the 5-on-5 flow of the game than games 3 and 4 were. If you're Vancouver, like, you have to know tonight that if you lose this game and it goes back to a game 7, then you are playing with fire in a big way. So I think there is an incredible desperation level that both teams are going to play with tonight to try and wrap this thing up if you're Vancouver and to try to get this thing back for Game 7 if you're the Predators. And I expect a pretty even back-and-forth type of hockey game tonight, and it's going to be about who can make maybe an extra play or two in the end.
Yeah. Vancouver has to match the desperation in Nashville. Obviously, when you're up against it, like they've been since Sunday, then you expect that desperation, but Vancouver has to match it or else this is going to go 7. Is there, you talk about the pressure on the Canucks, which we would all agree, if it gets to that game 7, it will be massive. Is there any sort of different kind of pressure on the Preds tonight?
I think so a little bit. I mean, it's you have to win a home game in a playoff series, right? I mean, it's you can't get through a series and have any argument whatsoever that you deserve to win if you can't win a game on home ice. And look, I think there is an element of pressure in terms of there were plenty of opportunities they had in Game 3 and Game 4 to put the puck in the back of the net, and they couldn't do it. And a little bit less so in Game 3. Like Game 3, I thought Vancouver did a pretty good job of shutting down the middle, keeping them to the outside. But Game 4, like they could have scored 5, 6. I mean, they had some good looks that some they capitalized on, some they didn't. And you got to find a way tonight. When you have an opportunity to put a team away, you got to do it in the playoffs, especially a team like this that is as skilled as they are. We saw it in Game 4. They only need a moment, right? Brock Besser, JT Miller, Elias Pettersson. And that's the other thing that in the back of my mind, if I'm a Predators fan, I'm still a little bit nervous about, is they've done such a good job all series long of totally neutralizing Elias Pettersson. And I know, I've watched him play for a long time. He is so good.
Yeah.
That you have to think at some point he's going to break through. I don't know when that's going to – and if he doesn't, I mean, he's getting just killed up there in Canada right now with the way that he's played. But they've done such a great job of him basically not being a factor in this series that I wonder if, like, a breakout performance for him is coming. And you got to find a way to overcome that because he's too good to be held off the score sheet forever.
Yeah, no doubt. I think he's probably going to be key this weekend one way or the other. It's going to continue, and maybe that's just not enough, or it's – we've talked about this before. Okay, so go back to, like, the Vols hoops and Santiago Vescovi, and it's like if he – whenever he does make a three, then it's, like, such a huge lift for the team. If Pettersson can do something significant, it's almost like it would count more now.
Yep.
Because it's been such a struggle and such a talking point. So – I do think he is – he's going to be key. He's going to be heavily in the discussion one way or the other. And like you said, he's a fantastic player. It's just – it is not – and some of it is definitely credit to the Preds, and some of it is he just botched some opportunities.
Yeah.
So, the Preds don't really have a player like that. I mean, I think that Josi and Forsberg, at different times in this series, we've said, you've got to get more from those guys. But – and they're not having – career series or anything like that, but there's no, I guess it would be Tommy Novak, but obviously there's no
different level
there's
player,
a totally different level of expectation for a guy in his first playoff who is a nice skilled player as opposed to a Pettersson.
Right. Yeah, for sure. And I think also when you look at the way this series is unfolded, and tell me whether or not you disagree with this. Like I think back to 2021 and the Carolina series. And Saros was playing out of his mind, and the Predators came home, won 2 games in overtime. But it was pretty clear, I think, basically the whole time, that Carolina was by far the better team, and they were controlling the play. And the Predators did a nice job of using the home ice to their advantage, making some plays at home, and making, obviously, a couple plays in overtime in that series to get this thing to 6. But it never felt like, to me, the Predators – were toe-to-toe with Carolina. It just kind of felt like they took advantage of home ice, their goalie played great, and they were able to kind of steal a couple, for lack of a better term. This one, to me, like, you can make the argument that the Predators have been the better team in this series. And I think they have gone toe-to-toe with Vancouver. Now, Vancouver, granted, has been on their third goalie, and, you know, there's a lot that goes into that. But the point is, like, the Predators, I think the confidence, and I was talking to this with Caroline yesterday, I think the confidence should be there that they are good enough and they have played well enough in this series to come back and win this thing. Having said that, if you're just asking me law of averages, this series has been so close that the idea of the Predators winning three games in a row to close this thing out, which is what it will be. I mean, you will have won game five, game six, and game seven if you're advancing. Like, that seems to me to be just pretty unlikely based on how close I think this series is for one team to be able to do that.
That's fair. But I guess I would also say it's been so close, it seems like it's a seven-game series.
Yep.
Right?
For sure.
So, and then of course, you kind of throw it up in the air and say whatever. I mean, we've seen so many crazy things happen in game seven.
Oh, yeah.
But you're right. I mean, you go back to blowing game four, and it's like the math just is so against the Preds winning three in a row. They've obviously – well, like we said, they've been in three game sevens in none of those series. And let's see, that was two of them in 16 and then the one in 18. And in none of those were they down 3-1. So they've never done this. They've never even, let alone won a series, but forced a game seven in a series when they were down 3-1. So trying to enter new territory here.
Yep, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. A massive game tonight at Bridgestone Arena. Preds trying to keep their season alive and force a Game 7 back in Vancouver. Preds fans, we want to hear from you. What are your thoughts on the game tonight? Your chances are that the Predators can win the game? What's your keys to victory tonight for the Predators? 615-737-1025 is our phone number. More coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. We are live from Bridgestone Arena this morning. Preds in Canucks game six tonight. We'll take your thoughts on the Preds Canucks all show long. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning. Skyler on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. With Tommy Novak having his struggles, who do you expect to step up on that line? We all love Evangelista, but that's a lot of pressure on a 22-year-old. He seems to hold his own, though. That's from Skyler on the text line. I mean, if they keep the lines the same, you're going Jankowski, Novak, Evangelista. You know, Novak, it was interesting. I saw Paul Skrbina from the Tennessean, who, by the way, what an outfit from him yesterday. A hot Cheeto hoodie with shoes to go along with it, matching with it.
It was fire.
Beautiful stuff. But I mean, he caught up with Tommy Novak, and, I mean, the quote that he had got a lot of Predators fans going yesterday of, I don't think I'm having a poor series at all. And Predators fans are like, oh, really? You don't? How about that? I guess, what he's saying. Probably not the best choice of words there from Tommy Novak. Having said that, if that line's the same, and I expect it will be, what do you make of the idea of Evangelista kind of being a driver of that line? I actually think, you know, the point production is not going to point to it, but I think he's actually been pretty decent this series, especially for it being his first playoff series. And I said this in game five, like the one thing in terms of the young players they have that I feel really good about right now is him. Like I think he's taken some major strides this year, referring to Luke Evangelista.
Yep, no doubt. And I think it's going to be really interesting to see, you know, where it goes from here with him. And, yeah, the Novak thing is, as Skrbina wrote in the piece, he like there are some – I mean, what, he had like three hits all year, and he has like four or five in the series, yeah. Right? So, I mean, he's doing playoff things, and that, look, if he weren't doing playoff things at times, then he would be out. So I think that probably – the fact that he's still in the lineup probably tells you that he's at least doing some of the stuff away from the puck that you want to see from him. But obviously he's in this lineup to create offense, and that's not happening. So, yeah, that's a bit of a – that's one of those – yeah, you know, a little bit of a unfortunate quote, but – he's hanging in there. And as for Evangelista, yeah, I think that the numbers don't reflect, but they do, I guess they kind of reflect the line. I mean, yeah. It hasn't been able to get going, but at times he looks like a one-man line out there. I mean, I think he's going to be a really, really good player. You tweeted out last night the Joachim Kemmel
yeah.
play now that we're almost to the point where we can finally focus on the real team with the playoffs, the Milwaukee Admirals. But, you know, a couple guys that I think are definitely going to be key here moving forward with the Preds.
Yep, no question about that. And as far as tonight goes, I like the way that the Sissons, Bevilier, Zucker line is playing. You'd like to see them find the back of the net a little bit more than they have in this series. You know, I think Zucker in particular has been really good and really effective in this series. Like, you know, Sissons has a little bit of a tough matchup depending on who they're trying to line him up against out there. But I think Zucker to me in this series, Joe, has kind of shown you why Barry Trotz and Andrew Burnett like him and went out and got him. Like, he's like, Zucker's never going to be a guy that, you know, puts 40 in the back of the net. He has been a good offensive player throughout his career, and he's been around for a long time at this point, and he's been a little bit of an agitator in this series, which has been fun to watch after the whistle. But I think just the way that he engages himself in the play, I think fits right in, number one, with that line with Sissons. And Bevilier, I think, has played in a couple of games probably some of the best hockey he's played in a Predators uniform. So I like kind of the makeup of that line. The one thing I would say about it is you got to find a way every now and then put the puck in the back of the net a little bit more than they have.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. Zucker actually asked him if he's an agitator yesterday, and he said, no, I don't think so. And he doesn't remember the trash talk, but we've seen it, and he has made a difference. I mean, this guy.
Do we buy that he doesn't remember the trash talk?
Probably not. No, probably not. But it's a good answer on his part.
It is.
You know, I mean, last year he scored 27 goals for the Penguins. He signed a $5 million deal with Arizona, and it didn't go well. I know that he has had injuries. I talked to him about that a little bit yesterday. And, well, of course, in this league, it's like undisclosed injuries, yeah, various types. But that has been part of, and like he says, like, that's how he plays. He's a guy who, the way he plays sometimes is going to make you more susceptible to injury. But I think it's a real effective game out here. I think he's been physical and fast and chirpy, and he does have a little bit of scoring threat. And you're right, if that line could, you know, get a big goal, that'd be a big deal. But they've played some, I mean, they've done a good job, I think, at times of playing some offense.
They have.
When they've gone against, like, Miller's line, and that's a huge key, right, to that matchup.
The guy that I'm looking for tonight and that I think has been a big money player throughout his career, and that's Ryan O'Reilly. Ryan O'Reilly in this series, I think, has been fine. I don't think he's been overly good. And there, obviously, I mean, there have been some pretty glaring mistakes that he's made in this series, too. He has been a player throughout his career that, for the most part, when the moments matter the most, usually the better he plays. And he's got 2 points in this series in 5 games. Obviously, you'd like to see more than that. But game 6, game 7, I mean, he's done it throughout his whole career. And you know, it's not just been the St. Louis run when they went to the Cup Final and won, and he won the Conn Smythe as playoff MVP. Now, obviously, that kind of highlights it, but he's been a big-time player throughout his career in the playoffs. And, I mean, look, you're talking 2020, 11 points, 9 games. Obviously, in 19, 23 points, 26 games, 8 goals. That's when he won the Conn Smythe. Like, he's been a big-time player, even, you know, back in 2022, 12 points, 12 games. This is his time of year to shine. And you haven't seen a ton of it so far in this series. And it's been a tough series in terms of, I mean, he was talking about it yesterday. It's a very different playoff series than most I can remember watching, just in terms of how good both of these teams are at suppressing shots. So the opportunities have been limited. But he's the one guy tonight, outside of the obvious of what we talk about with Josi and Forsberg, like, O'Reilly is the one guy tonight for me that I'm saying, all right, we've seen you do this throughout your career in big moments and big games. Can you do it again tonight? And they need number 90 tonight for sure.
No, that's a great point. And it really, first segment I said, there's really no Pettersson parallel, but he'd probably be the best one. Talking about your number one center. And it overall has not been a series he's going to write home about for him. So he would be a big deal. And you're right, he obviously has a history of clutch moments. He also has a baby coming. His wife is due in 9 days. I didn't realize this.
Yeah, he and Forsberg both.
Yeah, two thirds of the top line are on baby watch right now. And the difference between them is that O'Reilly, that will add to a 6, 4, and 2-year-old.
Yeah.
6, 4, 2, infant.
I can't even imagine, man.
Imagine if the Preds go on like a cup final run.
I know.
My goodness.
I know. Ryan, have you slept at all?
Yeah, man. But, yeah, he would be. You're right. He would be the guy that you would look at. And, again, we go to the experience thing that we've talked about. Of course, I was soliciting this stat from you guys yesterday because I wrote something today for The Athletic about a little bit about that with O'Reilly, which is the experience thing. You almost could laugh at the whole idea after game four. It's like, well, all the experience guys were on the ice for that debacle. Yep. Over and over again. But then you get to whatever happened between game four and game five. A lot of it was just a flight to Vancouver. And then, obviously, I think the hanging in there and not, you know, getting disconnected or at all when that Zadorov shot goes into the third period and just plugging away, tying it, taking the lead, holding off. That was a very poised veteran third period for the Preds. Yep. So maybe we did see in that game some of that coming out.
It's still, at the end of the day, it's hard to imagine that you win a playoff series if your power play is 2 of 19, right? So that, to me, is another thing tonight. You got to find a way to score an important goal on the power play. Like, you're going to get some power play opportunities tonight. Can you find a way to put one in the back of the net? You know, I would say, I mean, they scored one the last, I think the last time they had a power play.
I mean, they're on a streak of one in a row.
So I would say, you know, that's a good sign that maybe you can build off that. And I'm not trying to take anything away from the play, but it wasn't really a typical power play goal, right? Like, it was just kind of a nice give and go crash to the net. It wasn't like they set up in the zone and worked the puck around and scored there. So
I feel like it was a nice curveball, though, because the entries have been failing, and all of a sudden it's like, here, how about Josi to the net?
I agree. Like, I'm not trying to take anything away from it. I'm just saying, like, even Vancouver.
It's not a traditional, you set up and you moved it quickly. And
Like, I was talking to Philip DiGiuseppe from Vancouver, and he's like, I don't want to call that goal a fluke because it was a nice goal, but we feel like we've done a pretty good job on the penalty kill, which is basically his way of saying, yeah, we're not really worried about them scoring that power play goal right there. So to find a way to, number one, set up. Number two, when you lose the faceoff and you have to enter the zone again, find a way to do it better than you've done in this series because it's been a problem.
Brutal.
Like, there's a lot that's riding on the power play. Like, if you're going to win, it's hard to me for me to imagine that they're going to be able to win tonight and in Game 7 without the power play at least being a significant factor in it.
Yeah, and maybe that's because Vancouver's 2 for 13, so mm-hmm. the penalty kills are dominating. So
they are.
Maybe whoever gets a third, a fourth, ends up on Sunday moving on to Edmonton. I mean, it could be that simple.
And that's another example, though, of, like, it's not always about how many power play goals you score. It's about when you score them. Vancouver is 2 of 13. The two they scored in Game 3, and that's the difference in the game. They scored two in that game. You went 0 for 4 or whatever it was in that game, and you couldn't find one. And that right there by itself is the difference in Game 3 right there. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. More of your thoughts on the Preds and Canucks coming up in Game 6 tonight at Bridgestone Arena. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Join 1025 The Game for Kubota Orange Days at the grand opening of Coleman Tractor of Nashville's newest location tomorrow. Stop by anytime from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. for demos, deals, giveaways, and lunch from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. 1025 The Game will be on site from 10 a.m. to noon. Stop by and see us at Coleman Tractor of Nashville's newest location, 7221 Whites Creek Pike in Jolton. Taking your thoughts on the Preds, 615-737-1025. Nick Keyser back at our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Preds trying to keep their season alive tonight. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Saros in the last game, Joe, makes a couple of big saves in the third period. He has the one that he lets in on Zadorov, which he's talked about kind of maybe cheating the pass on that play. So you're hoping just kind of taking yourself out of position and cheating the pass. Other than that, pretty darn good nails from UC Saros in game five. And that's what it's going to take tonight, too. Like, if you're going to win tonight, he's going to have to play, obviously, well, but he's probably also going to have to come up with a couple of huge saves in the game to slow down their momentum and to keep them off the board here. And Saros, like, all the conversation around him that we keep going back to in terms of his future, all those things, like, if you can come up with some big-time clutch performances like you did in Game 5, if you can do that again tonight in Game 6, if you can do that in Game 7, I mean, that's the stuff that you look at if you're Barry Trotz and you're Andrew Burnett and you say, those are kind of the foundational pieces there of a franchise goalie. That's who you commit long-term to. That's who you commit money to. And look, he's been a really, really good player throughout his career. When you start to list off the best goalies in the NHL since he's taken over as a starter, he's probably in the top five somewhere. So he's been fantastic. It would go a long way for him, I think, from a confidence standpoint, but also when you start to look at building the future here, if he can come up with some massive performances to close out this series.
So I know we don't want to spend too much time on this. There's a huge game today, but if you're Barry Trotz and he has two outstanding games and the Preds move on, you're giving him the big deal?
Well, I mean, it's certainly got to be part of your information, right? Like, a pretty big part. Like, I do buy into the postseason is not everything in terms of how you evaluate a player, but I do think it needs to be a pretty big part of it, right?
No doubt.
Like, it needs to be a pretty big part of, like, to me, if you're committing to a franchise goalie, you need to have pretty good confidence that when push comes to shove in a playoff series, that they can end up being the difference for you. And I've always believed that Saros can do that. It's one thing to believe it, and it's another thing to actually see it. And if he puts it on display like he did in Game 5, where he just comes up with a couple of big saves. And look, the Predators, you know, it sounds like Andrew Burnett wasn't overly thrilled with their defensive zone in Game 5. They did give up a couple of odd man rushes here and there. I still thought, for the most part, they're pretty good in the D zone. So it's not like they were just getting peppered out there, but he had to come up with a couple of really good saves, and he did. So it's one thing to believe he can do that. It's another thing to actually see it when the pressure's high in a postseason setting, when your back is against the wall. That's the other thing. I mean, they had to win the other night, and he came up with a huge game when they were facing elimination, and I put a lot of stock into that.
Yeah. No, I do too, and – It's fascinating because, I mean, right now, and I've gone back and forth all year, but I'm more on the fence of, God, just watch Hellebuyck. Just who cares? Yeah. Who's in goal? And, you know, and so you're kind of thinking that way, and the money's so big. But I will say that if Saros puts two more gems in a row here and they get out of this, then it's like, you sure you want to move on from that? I mean, it's so I'm just destined to be on the complete roller coaster on that one. But regardless, he stepped up big, and it wasn't looking good, obviously, after Game 4. And it's not easy. You know, you talk about how they're doing a good job of suppressing shots. Some goalies would say, I'd rather, like, give me just a bunch of shots but that are clean, that I have clean looks at.
Yeah.
And have that regular work all night. Sometimes when you go, you know, 6 minutes between shots, that makes it more difficult. So that's an underrated difficulty, probably for both sides, for whoever's in net on the other side in this series too.
Well, and look, this is not some groundbreaking strategy, but I do think, you know, Rick Tocchet is going to put a heavy emphasis tonight on trying to get as much traffic in front of him as possible. And that's – he knows, like, that's the way you got to beat him. Like, if there's one area where Saros is probably a little bit vulnerable and susceptible – it is traffic in front, screening, because that is where I think the lack of size comes into play there. But, like, the Predators have done a decent job of boxing out in this series, and you got to find a way to keep doing that. And look, Vancouver's good enough where they're going to get some chances tonight where he's going to have to bear down in a one-on-one situation and make a save for you. Like, that he's going to have to do that a few times tonight. But I think if you can make his life a little bit easier on him, if you're the Predators, number one, by having the puck, which that has been the most kind of weird thing about this series is, for the most part, the team that has had the puck the most in a game haven't won.
Right.
Like, it's been really weird the way that the series has kind of played out that way. But I still think, like, long term, your best strategy is, if you can hold on to the puck for most of the game and you can control play in the offensive zone for the most part in the game, I know it hadn't worked out that way in this series, that still, to me, is your best path to victory. And that's what the Predators need to try to accomplish tonight.
Well, and I would say in periods 2 and 3 of the last game, they did that, right? And they came back to win. I mean, the first period of game 5 was Vancouver was all over them, but then they kind of flipped it. So that was maybe the first time that you've seen it actually sort of reward the team that did that. Chris is asking why I sound like Lego Batman.
Your voice was a little deep there for a minute, but now you're getting more energetic.
It was all dudes, even the hairy one, all dudes. Yeah, I'm a little under the weather, and I'm hoping I'm not giving anything to Robbie. I think so. Good. Far we're getting out of it. Yeah, this is a much more airy place.
It is.
By the way, come on, Preds fans, let's go.
Yeah, what are we doing?
Happy hour.
What are we
6:40
doing?
Happy hour. Please bring coffee. I'm going to keep begging for this publicly. Someone please bring us coffee.
For the love of God, someone bring us coffee. Look, I look at this series, too, and the one thing, you know, I talked about in the back of my mind, can they really shut down Elias Pettersson totally for a 7-game series? I also wonder, Joe, like, the absence of Thatcher Demko really hasn't mattered yet in this series. Like, I think Shelov has been pretty good. DeSmith obviously came in here in game 3 and made 29 saves and let in 1 goal. Like, I'm not saying that, you know, Thatcher Demko, maybe if he's in, the series is over already. I don't know. But it's not like Shelovs or DeSmith have been a glaring problem in this series for Vancouver. And I think some of that is a credit to the way they play, right? Like, they're really good defensively. But I also wonder, like, as the series goes deeper and the pressure ramps up in Game 6 and then potentially in Game 7, we'll wait and see what happens, could that factor in? Like, could there be – clearly, Casey DeSmith is not as good of a goalie as Thatcher Demko. Shelovs, I think they're very excited about what he can be in the future, but you're talking about a kid that's barely played in the National Hockey League. At some point, does that matter in this series? Because it really hasn't yet, and that's the one thing I'm leaving. Like, could they be due for a stinker that we just haven't really seen out of them yet?
Yeah, the Preds certainly would love to make it matter. Another thing on that is, because I'm with you, I think those guys have done very well. I don't see some huge, like, there would be a huge difference in outcomes. Unless, are the Canucks playing a different way a little bit because they don't have Demko? Would they be playing with a little bit more reckless abandon with him in net, and would that matter? I don't know.
Maybe. Oh, it could be. I mean, look, the one thing that they really had the nail down on down the stretch when he was out in the regular season, they had to defend well. They knew they had to defend well. And they're built to do it. I mean, we've talked about this. They've got gigantic defensemen, and it's very difficult to get to the interior on those guys. So they have kind of leaned into that in this series, and that's why they have, you know, 92 shots on goal through 5 games and are somehow up 3-2. I mean, that's why they're there at this point. So, like, if you're the Predators, I still say, you know, sometimes I still think when they've got the puck in the offensive zone, they're looking for the perfect play, and I get it. Like, the chances have been so limited in this series that you're trying to create high-quality looks, and they're hard to come by, so I understand it. But I still wonder every now and then if it's not just worth putting the puck on net and trying like heck to get to a rebound and seeing what can happen. And coaches will tell you, you know, sometimes it's counterproductive to put pucks on net just to put the puck on the net, because then the goalie starts seeing it, gets into a groove, and if it's not really a high-quality chance, like, are you really doing yourself a whole lot of good? But I still think there have been times in this series where they're passing up shots a little bit too much, and I'd like to see them just let a rip tonight.
Yeah, it's sort of the opposite of what we were talking about, which is when you don't see a shot for a long time, it can, you know, maybe that throws you off a little bit. If you're getting steady but easy work, that can really get a goalie in a rhythm. There's a balance there. There's just some play, but definitely there's been some moments where it's like, I think with Evangelista a couple times, it's like, man, you're doing a great job holding them off, and now you're looking for something, but go ahead and let it rip.
Just let
one
fly.
Rip.
Yep.
And but other times, you know, one extra pass, obviously you get a better shot. There's no formula. You just have to have a great feel for it. It's just like on the power play. If they ever get set up, it's the same idea, you know. move it quickly, but then you got to take those shots when you have them. And the problem is we haven't seen them even able to enter the zone enough on some of these things.
Preds fans, let's take your phone call, 615-737-1025. Our phone number, Game 6 tonight at Bridgestone Arena. We'll have Jared Stillman coming up at 7 o'clock. All that ahead. Tune into 93.3 Classic Hits today as the Nashville Sounds take on the Norfolk Tides at First Horizon Park. Pregame at 6:20, first pitch at 6:35. Coverage also available on the 93.3 Classic Hits app and at 93.3ClassicHits.com. Sounds baseball coverage presented by Twin Peaks Family Leisure and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning. We are live from Bridgestone Arena, Game 6 tonight between the Preds and the Vancouver Canucks. We're taking your thoughts on the Preds, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Weston. Weston, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, guys. I kind of want to throw this question out there because after we won the home day, after we won the last game, moving back home, I feel more optimistic because we've had chances to win in Vancouver and we've done that. Now, if we win one here, I feel optimistic about winning Game 7. Now, with that said, moving forward, we'll be playing Edmonton in the next round, more than likely. And with them only having really their top line of McDavid and everything, I see it a lot like Vancouver. If you can shut down the top line, you have a chance. Is that a possibility after you've seen Preds play against Vancouver, and what do you think on that?
Yep,
I'll hang up and listen.
So we're already moving to Edmonton. I like that. Got nice confidence there.
Yes.
But,
look. I was going to start breaking down that series.
I will say this, and we'll have plenty of time if the Predators can pull this off to dissect a Predators-Oilers matchup. This is the most dangerous Edmonton team by a pretty good margin that we've seen in the last couple of years. I hear, like, you know, McDavid, Draisaitl obviously are always going to be the ones that drive the bus for them. They're a little bit deeper than that this year. They've got some good pieces with their forward group. I think their defense is probably in the best shape it's been in. And, you know, Stuart Skinner I would not describe as great in goal, but he's had a pretty good year. So Edmonton, I'll put it to you this way. I think regardless of who wins this series between Vancouver and Nashville, Edmonton's going to cause them a lot of problems in the next series.
Yeah, and Vancouver had a lot of success against Edmonton, but if it is them, it's still different in the postseason. So I would think that either of these teams would be a significant underdog, but Edmonton also does have a history.
They do.
Of this time of year kind of leaving you wanting more. So whoever emerges from this will hope that happens. And sometimes all you have is hope when Connor McDavid is bearing down on you.
But you talk about nothing to lose. Like, I don't think the Predators have much to lose in this series, you know, based on, you know, kind of overachieving to get to this point. If you're able to win this series, like if you come back from down 3-1, win this series, and take on Connor McDavid and the Edmonton Oilers in the second round, you talk about nothing to lose. You ain't got anything to lose in that series if you're the Predators.
That's true.
Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in James. James, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good, man.
Good.
I just wanted to hit real quick on the goalie talk. I don't really think it matters who they put in the net because Brunette has changed the way we play for these playoffs. We're not taking many chances. It's been a defensive battle on both sides. And as far as y'all have already talked about, the shots on goal, I mean – I get so irritated when you see 20 passes and then we turn it over without any shots. What are you guys thinking?
Yeah, thanks for the call, James. You know, some of this is just the DNA of the series, right? Like, I do think from a stylistic standpoint, these are two teams that like to do a lot of the same things. Now, there's different skill levels and there's different, you know, types of players. Like, I look at Nashville's defense corps, and it's mobile. It's good. I wouldn't necessarily describe it as big. You know, Luke Shen's a big guy. McDonough's decent size, but they don't have a gigantic defense
corps. They look small compared to the Canucks.
Yeah, the Canucks have a massive defense corps. I mean, other than, you know, Quinn Hughes and, you know, Philip Ronick that are their top pair. They, you know, Myers is gigantic. Soucy's big. Zadorov is an absolute tank out there. So they've got some pretty good sized defenseman. you know, obviously Besser and Pettersson and JT Miller. I mean, there's a good skill level that the Canucks have. But I think both teams want to do the same thing. Like, they want to push the pace. They want to get north-south as quickly as they can. And in this series, I think you've just seen two teams that have really figured out a good way to defend the other team. And that's a lot of what it is in the playoffs. Now, I do think this series is taking it to a little bit of an extreme. Like, I don't know that I can recall a series quite like this, when the shots on goal are just as limited as they are in this series. There's not a ton of room. There's not a ton of stuff going on out there. But to James's point there, that does leave the door open for, like, you know, when you are a Luke Evangelista or when you are a Philip Forsberg in the zone and you're kind of drifting around looking for that perfect play, sometimes you just got to put it on net. I mean, you know, Forsberg in game two, he's kind of wheeling around the net, gets the puck up high at the top of the left circle, and he does basically a turnaround fadeaway shot toward the net, and Bevilier tips it in from the high part of the slot there. And that's just an example of putting the puck toward the net and seeing what happens there and trying to get to the interior. So it's been a very different series that way.
Yeah, it's a greasy goal series, and that's probably what's going to end up, you know, winning tonight. And if there is a Sunday, maybe winning Sunday too. I would disagree on the goalie thing. Like, I don't think that Kevin Lankinen makes a couple of the saves that Saros made in Game 5.
For sure.
I mean, I understand the idea of it's less work and everything, but you still, I mean, that position is going to come in big one way or the other to decide this series.
Well, that's the one thing that I think you feel great about. Like, there's the travel aspect of this that's been tough. And, you know, Ryan O'Reilly was talking about it yesterday. If they win and they go back to Vancouver, I mean, you're talking about, like, in terms of flying time, basically a full day on a plane. So it's a lot of flying time that they've put in here. But, like, Saros, I don't think Saros has been overly taxed in this series. Outside of game two, when even then the shot total that ended up on net wasn't great. Now, Vancouver had 84 shot attempts in that game. So you have to be pretty locked in as a goalie. That was a taxing game for a goalie. Other than that, like, I don't think UC Saros has been, like, physically really all that taxed in this series, which is good.
Yeah, that's true. And, of course, now, if the Preds do get that flight back, and they do get the next series, it's an hour and a half flight to Edmonton. I figured it out. So they'll just stay out there. It'll just be a nice little easy flight to Edmonton. Yeah. So, yeah, and they'll probably have to play starting Tuesday. Cody's asking if I smoked a pack of Marlboro Reds last night.
Did you?
I preferred Marlboro Mediums back in the day, back when Wu-Tang Clan and her 36 Chambers came out. Like, seriously, how does Carsey not understand that I was, like, a teenager when that album came out?
I don't know.
Still pisses me off.
You two boomers just yelling back and forth at each other about the music of your day over there.
People are still – I'm sorry about my throat. I'm a little bit under the weather.
I think you sound fine.
If I had some hot coffee in here, it might sound better. Hint, hint, world, help us.
Coming up next, the magic cure to all of Joe Rexroad's problems. Jared Stillman will be with us on the program.
Like penicillin.
You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.